Hey everyone, how's it going today? Thanks for coming to the session. I know I'm the last thing standing between you and some pretty awesome goodies. It's pretty awesome because I wasn't sure what kind of turnout I would get. I know there's a lot of people really interested in this topic, seeing the show of the room. So today we're going to talk about what's new in Windows 8.1 for the enterprise. My name's John Vinsel. I'm a senior program manager at Microsoft. Been at Microsoft about 5 years. I spent some time on System Center Configuration Manager and Windows Intune, and currently now I'm working in the Windows team focusing on app deployment. What I'm going to talk through today is going to be a series of new features that are available in Windows 8.1 and just the overall enhancements we've made to the Windows 8.1 platform relevant to you for enterprise scenarios. So it won't be your typical developer talk. I'll go into a few areas where we have some other sessions talking about some dev APIs and whatnot. But most of all, this is going to be like kind of like a feature overview. So as we kind of look at the enterprise today, we definitely know things are changing. If you look at an enterprise like 4 or 5 years ago, you know, there were still a lot of mobile workers. People had notebooks. Everything was very tightly controlled, corporate owned. Now today, people are kind of working anywhere, getting their own devices, bringing them to work. Employees want to be able to work anywhere, anytime. In fact, kind of from 2011 to 2013, we've seen the grow of anywhere, anytime employees grow from 21% to 29%. So just in a couple of years, that's grown really, really fast. Overall, across global information workers, we see that 80% of the workforce does at least some of their work outside of the normal office. So any kind of need for extra connection or span across devices or just work outside your normal office is definitely growing. So this really means that BYOD is becoming more important, and it's really becoming more mainstream. So today we're going to kind of talk through some topics that are relevant for these anywhere, anytime employees, as well as bring your own device scenarios. But note that these features aren't exclusive to those. These just help you grow into those areas as you need. And overall, we're going to talk about how Windows offers devices and experience users love, and the enterprise-grade solutions that you can offer to empower your users for that. So sort of a typical agenda slide. I got this cool one from my marketing team. What we're going to kind of go through today is just go through an overall story of how Windows 8.1 is just better for the business overall. We're going to talk about how it relates for changes for building apps for business, so building your new Windows Store apps and some changes we've done there. We're going to really spend some time talking about mobility and productivity. Changes we've made to the Windows platform to be more mobile. Again, this could be a scenario where I bring my own device to work. It could be a scenario where it's a corporate-owned device. It's just mobility in general and things to extend productivity. We're going to talk a lot about BYOD. When we talk about the BYOD scenarios, kind of think through, though, they might not be exclusive to BYOD, like I said. They could be definitely scenarios you can light up for your enterprise, for your typical information worker in a corporate-controlled PC. So just, again, these are features that will extend to BYOD. And then lastly, we're going to touch upon some security features. So as you're kind of granting more access to users, as you're extending mobility and people are working from any devices, you still need to be able to protect your business and the data. So we're going to talk through some features that allow you to do that. Okay, so I'm hoping everyone here saw the keynote, because if you saw the keynote, you guys know you're getting some pretty good goodies. We made a lot of UI enhancements. We spent a lot of time building on top of the modern UI that we introduced in Windows 8. The first thing you'll see is we introduced the start tip. The start tip allows you to easily transition between the desktop and the start menu. It makes it an easier and more seamless experience for the users. So that kind of gives you that experience where you can stay in the desktop when you need to and only leave it when you want to. More importantly, we spent some more time moving settings into the modern settings, right? So maybe in Windows 8.1 you felt like some of the settings you'd have to go to the new UI, some you might have to go to the desktop. We spent a lot of time trying to leave you in the modern UI and kind of focus on doing your settings there. So lots of investments in trying to just make sure it's a cleaner, seamless experience. Another thing that we've done is we've improved the search experience. The search experience now is just extended beyond the normal file search and program search that you had in Windows 8. So if you're doing a search, we're actually going to go out, we're going to use Bing, we're going to go and we're going to power that and pull in some web information too. So you can actually just use that as your search place. The cool thing is we'll bring that into an aggregated view. So as you're searching, you'll be like, man, I just want to know about device management. You know, it might be something on your PC, or we can go and pull some, you know, articles from the web. So just trying to make it a one-stop shop for, you know, gathering information and searching for stuff. And then lastly, you know, we introduced some windowing and multi-monitor support. Today, if you're using Windows 8, you know, your monitor and applications will only be on one screen. We've extended that across multiple monitors. We know that business users, in general, have multiple monitors, especially if you're kind of working at a desk, and we've improved that experience to extend across those monitors. Okay, as we kind of go and, you know, talk about, like, the experience, let's talk a little about the app experience. I talked a little bit about the multi-monitor support. I just want to touch a little bit more on that. Additionally, beyond going across multiple screens, you know, there's a ton of positions and multiple apps you can open across these screens. So again, as you kind of think about, you know, the support that we've done there, take some time and kind of play with it and understand, like, how productive you can be, you know, using the new Windows modern apps across multiple monitors. What's cool is we introduced this other feature called App Share Screen. The easiest way to think of this is you're in your Windows Mail app, and you get some you get an email for, you know, an expense you got to go file, and it's got a link to your your expense tool. In Microsoft, we call it MS Expense. So in Windows 8, I would go click on that link, and it would send me to Internet Explorer and send mail to the background. With the new feature for the App Share Screen, what it'll do is it'll open Internet Explorer side by side. So now, as I'm working, I can see the Mail app open and the information that I need to work on, and then the mail or my expense tool on the screen side by side. Again, that's making me a lot more productive in what I need to do. We actually have a session, I believe it's tomorrow, that my peer Jake is presenting that kind of talk a little bit more about some of the share experiences. We also introduced higher DPI support as a whole into the product. So whether you're in a modern app or you're in the desktop, a lot of these new laptops and tablets are coming with a very rich, high DPI rate. So we've improved the overall experience for display in Windows 8.1 to take advantage of these displays. I know I have my Dell up here, and as soon as I loaded 8.1 on it, just the crispness in the experience was so much better. It just made, like, just the overall work experience, you know, just so much more enjoyable. We also introduced some new contracts for apps. We expanded the People app and updated the sharing app or the sharing contract. We have another session that my coworker Zanab is presenting tomorrow that'll kind of deep dive on some of those contract changes. So as you're building apps and doing development around apps, we're really growing what we can do with the Windows Modern apps and the different type of experiences. So there's some more information on that. And then the last thing that we kind of, like, as you're thinking about the overall experience, is the touchpad. We actually spend a lot of investment time in trying to make the touchpad experience better. In the past, you know, you might be resting your palms as you're typing on your keyboard and it's clicking away. We did a lot of work to, like, you know, detect palm support or when the palm's pressing on the keypad and just give you that overall touch experience better, trying to make it, you know, the best experience you can have on any kind of Windows device. Some other areas that, so as we kind of switch over to think about mobility and productivity, we spent a lot of time, like, looking at reliability and power efficiency. We actually spent a lot of time trying to make sure that the Windows tablet could be the best tablet in the marketplace. We spent a lot of time focusing on maximizing the battery life. Windows 8.1 introduced Connected Standby. For anyone that's not familiar with Connected Standby, what that is it allows the PC to go to sleep, but wake up periodically and perform tasks that, like, keep the internet connection alive or maybe wake up apps when they need to. You know, as you think about it, you might have your PC and it's, you know, asleep, but then you get a Skype phone call. The Connected Standby state allows you to kind of receive those or let those apps light up when the PC's in a sleep type mode. So we've actually done a lot of work in the background to make that state a lot more efficient. When we turn ourselves back on to perform any of those types of tasks, we're doing it quicker and more efficiently. The net impact for you guys is better battery life. Again, we're doing less and giving you the same result, so we're getting better battery life out of that. We've also taken the Connected Standby suite and we've added wired Ethernet. So if you have a device that supports Connected Standby, and maybe you're working in a conference room and then you go into your office and you put it into a dock, or just plug an Ethernet port or a jack into it, we now support wired Ethernet. In Windows 8, that wasn't supported, so as soon as it went on to wired Ethernet, it was either burning battery or it'd go into a full sleep. We've now extended the Connected Standby for the wired Ethernet support, so just kind of growing the ecosystem of types of devices that take advantage of Connected Standby. Again, that's giving you better battery life as a whole. We did a lot of work to just make app reliability better. When your apps go to the background, they'll sit in the background and you kind of don't know what's going on with them. So again, I kind of use Skype as an example. You might be working away, Skype's in the background. You know, if for some reason Skype were happening to crash, you wouldn't know it. What we did is we actually spent some time focusing on watching and maintaining the apps in the background. And if for some reason an app were to crash or shut down, we'll go ahead and reincarnate that app. What that really means is if the app crashes and, you know, for example, it was, you know, Skype or a link, you might miss a phone call. The changes we've done in Windows 8.1 allow us to go and, you know, restart that app, and then you don't miss that phone call. So again, kind of improving that overall reliability story for you. And then the last thing we did to kind of round some power efficiency is we did a lot of work around background transfers. There's a few things that we've done for background transfers. The first thing is, today, like, you might be in your app and you're going to go download a video. Well, you know, if it's, you know, a video that's 1.8 gig, it's a full movie, it's going to take a while to download. You're going to send that app to the background. You know what? You're going to be working away. You might not remember that the app's downloading, or you don't even know when it's done. So we now allow you to actually tie into the notification system to tell a user when the app is done with the download, which is cool because now the user who wants to use that app can immediately go back to it. Or in the event that maybe the download fails, the user can go back into the app and kind of restart it. So just giving a better experience to get people back into the apps. And if it's something like, you know, maybe it's a game and they're downloading levels and people want to play, you know, you can kind of tie into that experience and keep users coming back to your apps and not forgetting about them. The next thing that we kind of focused on with background transfers is trying to optimize them. So a lot of background or a lot of transfers are pretty resilient. I mean, they can take little hiccups and network changes. So what we can do is, as we're transferring an app, maybe you're transferring an app on an expensive connection like a mobile broadband. So you start downloading an app, you know, you leave work, you're in your car, you're downloading it, you get home, and your PC connects to Wi-Fi. We can go and know that the Wi-Fi is available. It's going to actually be a lower power cost network, and it's actually going to be faster and more efficient. So we can actually go and offload that connection from mobile broadband to Wi-Fi, giving you more power savings, making the download faster, and just proving the overall experience. So lots of different types of things we've done around power and reliability. Again, enhancements to connected standby, just better reliability on the background apps, and changes to background transfers. The next thing we kind of focused on was just making your PC the center of connectivity, right? As you might have a PC that has mobile broadband on it. We've extended support now to make your PC a mobile broadband hotspot. If you have a Wi-Fi only PC, you can turn that, you can hook that up to an existing broadband hotspot like your smartphone. What's cool about this is we've also introduced some work to auto connect and disconnect from these hotspots. So if you're using your device as a mobile broadband hotspot and maybe you have a second tablet that's kind of tethered to it and that's using the same connection, if you're not using any data and that's not using any data, we can suspend the connection, save power on both devices, and then if either needs a connection, we can kick that connection back up. So again, lots of small things in the background trying to make it, you know, just more productive and make it just a better to use device. What's kind of cool about some of the mobile broadband connectivity stuff is what some of our hardware vendors are doing. I don't talk a lot about hardware in this presentation, but specifically what we're seeing now is mobile broadband operators or chipset operators are integrating the mobile broadband into their system on chip, or something like an Intel calls it an iSOC or your ARM processor. They're going and they're integrating the mobile broadband. What's cool about that, again, is it gives you a better battery life, and what it's also going to do is it's going to reduce the form factors. So you're actually going to start seeing smaller and thinner tablets as a result of this. Now, I can't guarantee the size of any tablet because we don't make them, but you'll see things like that coming forward when you have mobile broadband connected devices. When I kind of think about mobility, I think a lot about printing. So like me, I walk around Microsoft a lot. As I was building this presentation on enterprise, I was probably in like 13 different buildings at Microsoft talking to a series of different people. Sometimes I need to like print out slides and then we, you know, mark them up or, you know, go through that stuff. So we've actually done some really cool stuff around printing to make it easier in Windows 8.1. The first thing we've done is we've added support for NFC tap-to-connect printing. So you can actually walk up with an NFC device, tap your printer and map it to your enterprise print queue. So first when I heard about this, I was like, oh man, that's like not really cool because I'm going to have to go buy all new printers and yeah, it's probably going to be expensive. But what's nice about this is you can actually use your entire printing infrastructure that you have today with very little change. All you actually have to do is go get an RFID tag, put it on your existing printer, maybe just got, you know, a couple $1,000 Xerox, add, you know, whatever the cost of a little RFID tag is. That actually stores all the information about your print queue, and any NFC device can just go tap to print, making an easy connection. So if you have users coming in and out of the office or going between buildings and they need to print, it's a really quick and easy solution to get people, you know, up and printing. Another addition that we kind of ties into this with printing is we've made some improvements overall to, you know, our credential manager as we're accessing printers. So if I'm on my Windows RT device and I'm connected to my corporate network, I had to log in with my credentials to connect to that network. Well, when I go and connect to that printer, we're going to know my credentials from Credman. It's going to get stored in there. And when I go and tap on that printer to connect, it's going to say, hey, you know, I got these credentials. It's going to use it, and it's going to auto-map my printer. If you, like, tried to map a device in Windows 8, you're going to have to go and map the printer queue. It's going to prompt you for a second set of credentials. And it's just, you know, more work and a little bit of, I'd say, an intrusive user experience. So it's just another underlying improvement we kind of did there. Also with printing, we added roaming. So anyone that's using MSA or connected an MSA to your account, we're going to actually start roaming your printer information. What's cool about this is you might think, hey, you know, I got like three printers at work, one at home, but if I start roaming them back and forth, I'm going to have a lot of printers that just don't work, right? I don't want my work printers at home. Well, when we go and we log on, what we're going to do is actually going to check connectivity to the printers. And if there's no connectivity to the printer, we're not going to display it to the user. So while we're going to roam your printer information, we're only going to roam it when it's useful. But then, you know, you might kind of think, hey, maybe my printer's just offline or maybe the network wasn't fully initialized. If you go back and add a printer, because that's part of your roaming profile, those are going to be the prioritized printers to the list. So what we tried to do is make it easy to roam your printers, but not make it, you know, kind of a cumbersome experience. And then the last thing we kind of did around printing, we added support for Wi-Fi direct printing. So Wi-Fi direct printing is, I don't believe it's shipping yet, but it'll be shipping shortly. And that's the ability to basically connect directly to a printer through Wi-Fi. So think about you're at a hotel lobby. You don't have to go connect to the hotel guest network and then map to their printer and connect. You can just directly connect to the printer as like a hotspot and then go and print directly like your boarding pass as you know, you're heading home from build. Okay, I'm going to kind of transition a little from the mobility stuff, talk a little bit about BYOD. A lot of the mobility stuff kind of flows naturally into BYOD, so I'm going to talk about a little bit more about like some server and more enterprise features that tie into employees bringing their devices to work. What's cool about most of these scenarios is, again, they're not limited to BYOD. They could be as simple as just extension of what you do in an enterprise today for any of your devices, or maybe you're just bringing Windows RT in as a new type of device in your environment and extending upon that type of platform. So the first thing we did is we spent a lot of time continuing our investment in remote desktop. For people that don't know what remote desktop is, I'm guessing most people kind of do, it's the ability to remotely work from a virtual desktop. So this could be creating a session to maybe a desktop PC, like when I'm here in the speaker lounge, I have a PC back in Redmond, and I sometimes want to just access some resources off that so I can remote into it. But it also has another cool feature called remote app. And what remote app allows is an IT pro to go and publish an application to a user. What's cool about this is instead of presenting an entire desktop to a user, you can present one app. It could be maybe it's just a line of business app they need to use for a short period of time. It's also a great way to extend an app across platforms, whether it's maybe it's you have a very old app that still only runs on Windows XP. You can go ahead and decommission XP and just present a remote app for a remote session. Or maybe it's something that doesn't run on Windows RT, and you can go and present that app to the Windows RT platform. So what we've done from 8 to 8.1 is we've continued upon our experience to just make this better experience for you. We know touch devices are becoming a lot more prevalent. We really work to focus on getting that touch experience very fast and fluid. There's great touch support in Windows 8. There's even better touch support in Windows 8.1 for the remote desktop or remote app. We've also worked very hard to focus on lowering the bandwidth that we need. So, you know, if you're using Windows 8 remote desktop, the bandwidth usage isn't high, but we wanted to reduce it. We want to try to make it a low-cost solution to use for any time you need to do it. We know a lot of people might connect over WAN into a data center, or you're working from, you know, I'm working from Italy because I'm on vacation and I need to access a remote app. We want to make sure that we're minimizing any of the network connectivity that we use there. And kind of along those lines, in addition to, you know, just reducing the overall bandwidth, we optimize the reconnect time. So you're obviously potentially working remote. Maybe you're in a satellite office. Networks occasionally have problems, right? Sometimes it's an outage from your provider. Maybe it's just a network, you know, router went down. What we do now is we actually focus a lot and look to determine when the connection is dropping, and we work to fix the reconnect time. So anyone that's using remote desktop today might see that, you know, lost a connection, but you kind of knew it was lost a little bit before. You get that lock screen for like 3 or 4 seconds, and then you get the reconnecting 1 of 20, and it's probably 10 of 20 before it reconnects. What we were seeing is in Windows 8, not an average, but connections time, reconnection times as high as 70 seconds. With the work we've done in Windows 8.1 in those same scenarios, the reconnect time is down to less than 10 seconds. So great improvements on the overall experience for any of these reconnects. So again, just focus on a very fast and fluid user experience if you're using remote desktop or remote application. And then one last thing that we kind of did along these lines is if you're using the remote FX, which is the graphic offloading, we've done enhancements to reduce the overall usage of that by about 50%. So anyone using remote FX will also see additional improvements. So again, just a snappier, more fluid experience. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is workplace join. This is a feature I kind of heard about really early on when we were doing some of the Windows planning, kind of forgot about it, and then recently got reintroduced to it. And probably one of the coolest features, I kind of think, in Windows 8.1. Cool is my opinion. It might not be as cool to you. But what it allows it to do is it allows the user to associate their device with the Active Directory without a domain join. So I have my Windows RT device. I want to use it for, you know, accompanying work, maybe working from home. I still want to be able to access some of my resources, but my RT device, I can't domain join. Even if it was my standard desk or my standard laptop, I wouldn't want to take my home PC and domain join it to the corporate network just to get access to resources. So this allows us to actually go and build an identity of our PC to the enterprise and have some level of authentication across the two without doing a full enrollment like a domain join. So I'm going to actually walk a demo through the experience of how easy it is to go and enroll a device into a workplace join. Okay, so I just have a Windows RT device here. It's running the preview build. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my new settings. And then it's under network, workplace. And what I do here is I just get a nice, easy UI, and I type in my work credentials. So Jay Vinsel at contoso2013.com. And I hit join. What it's going to do is it's going to connect to my enterprise, and it's going to prompt me for my password. So most people would think, okay, well, someone can go and steal your password and then grab your device, and then they can authenticate and get access to your company resources. We actually have the ability, when we're doing a workplace join, to go introduce a second factor authentication. So in this scenario, when I go and sign in, it'll tell me that I'll get a phone call for a second authentication. So I'm going to hit OK here. And you can hear my phone going off. So if I answer it.
Press the pound key to finish signing in.
So it asked me to press the pound key, if you guys can, if I didn't hold it close enough to the mic. As soon as I hit pound, it's now a two-factored auth to really prove my identity, who I am, because now this is going to be associated with my company. So again, there's a scenario where I want to allow one of my workers to enroll their personal PC, but I want to make sure that I'm still having a really good level of trust with the device I'm going to kind of allow into my enterprise. So it's just as easy as that to do that. Server 2012 R2. And I'll grab some questions at the end. One of the other advantages of doing the workplace join is the ability to offer a single sign-on. So now that I've actually associated my device and it's a trusted device, I can now cache credentials for single sign-on. I tried to get a site up, and unfortunately it wasn't available to get up on the extranet this morning to show you an example of the single sign-on. But now that this is enrolled, the first time I go and access a SharePoint, it'll prompt me for my Contoso credentials. But in the next time I actually access that SharePoint, those credentials will be cached until my password changes. What's cool is, as a developer, you can tie into that single sign-on as well. So if you're building in-house apps, you can build them to take advantage of the single sign-on for workplace join, which is great because maybe there's an expense report app, maybe a travel app, or maybe just the payroll or time tracking app. Those are great things that you can go and tie into and extend upon this. Kind of continuing along this, continuing allowing to have users access resources, is a new feature called the Web Application Proxy. What this allows is IT pros to publish on-premise web applications to PCs on the internet. So it's a great way to offer up access to devices that aren't directly connected or don't have a VPN. What's cool about this is you can actually do it in a few different layers. You can say anything can have access to the web application proxy. You can limit it to workplace join, or you can maybe require a domain join machine. The web application proxy is part of Windows Server 2012 R2, and it's an extension of the routing and remote access role. What it does is, as it sits on the edge of your network, it ties in with ADFS proxy. In addition to becoming an authentication proxy, it now becomes a proxy for web traffic. Again, what's kind of cool about this is when a device comes in, because it's a proxy, you can determine via policy if you want to let that device in. So if I have just my notebook here that's workgroup joined, not workplace joined, I can deny that. I can say, look, the minimum requirement to even access a resource on my, access one of my company resources is a workplace joined machine. So it allows you to have just different levels of access and kind of control anything that's accessing your network, where just a normal thing published on the, published to the internet, anything can go access. So again, as we just kind of look it over, very simple, basic scenario is my desktop PC at home, not AD joined. My RT device is now workplace joined, and then my laptop's domain joined. In areas that I have limited or no IT control, I can do block type scenarios. Where it's workplace joined, and I have a little bit of governance over that. Maybe I'm going to use some policies with Windows Intune that I'll talk about in a little bit. Or if it's domain joined, there we go. I have full access, so I can kind of let that in. So again, just giving us different layers of access to kind of control. Continuing on connectivity, I want to talk a little bit about VPN. We've now extended our VPN our VPN is now in box with four providers. So F5, Juniper, Checkpoint, and Dell SonicWall will ship in box and be part of our VPN solutions. What this means is it's built into Windows, very easy to configure, kind of works out of the box. If you look at VPN solutions today, they can be very easy to configure, but they're always a third-party software you have to load on top. The experience across different VPN solutions is different. So maybe you switch from F5 to Dell SonicWall. Now you gotta, my users have to learn the clicks differently. Again, it's gonna be integrated into Windows, so that gives us an overall integrated experience. Because it runs as part of Windows, it'll be more secure and more stable. Again, it's not an add-on on top of Windows, it's tied into Windows. What also that allows us to do is to be more performant. A VPN, third-party VPN client today kind of has to sit there and it has to listen and understand when it needs to do things, and then it has to call back and forth to the OS a lot. As being part of an inbox client, we can be smarter on how we handle transactions and what we do, so we give you better performance overall. So less traffic and just a little bit speedier performance. Well, speedier is relative. And then lastly, I talked about the integrated experience. What's really, really cool about the integrated experience is you can extend it to apps. So as an IT pro, when I configure the VPN profile, I can specify which apps are going to always require a VPN connection. So think about it this way is you're deploying some apps, and maybe you're deploying, you know, OneNote, which just works no matter what, but then I'm deploying the HR web app to my human resources group. When I deploy that, I can add the HR web to the VPN profile. What will happen is when the user clicks on the VPN app, it'll pop a toast notification saying, hey, a VPN connection is required. The user can click that, enter their credentials, and start up the VPN connection with the app. In the past, you know, you think about it, it's like, hey, I'm going to go launch the HR web app. It's like, oh, man, I don't have a connection. All right, go log into my VPN. And it's kind of a very jarring, disjointed experience. Again, through using the VPN profile and the inbox experience, we can do these, what we call them, VPN triggers as part of the app so that, again, when that app launches, it knows it needs VPN. It tells the user to, you know, enter the credentials, and we have a seamless experience. Another cool thing I kind of talk about here is work folders. This is a great feature that allows users to access their files from anywhere. This is a combination of the Windows 8.1 client along with Windows Server 2012 R2. From your standard Windows 2012 R2 file server role, you can enable work folders. You can set it up for a group of users, and what it does is it creates a unique folder for them. The user can go and actually go into Control Panel, put in their email address, and it'll go and it'll create an offline folder and basically do sync back and forth to the server. There's client logic so that it understands the changes, and the client basically controls and sends the changes back up. So, I mean, kind of think of it as another version of, you know, like an extension of like SkyDrive for the enterprise, right? It's folder sync across any of the devices that you enroll, and then it's dynamically happening. So again, I can go and enroll my Windows RT device here. I can put all my, you know, documents that I'm working on to, as we finish the 8.1 release. And then if I leave this at home and I grab my Windows or my Dell XPS here, those files will get replicated. So it just gives me a great way to be more productive as a whole. What's nice about this, too, is additionally when a user goes and enrolls, the IT pro can control a subset of policies as part of the enrollment for the work folders. So if you're allowing the extension of work folders to, like, you know, a BYOD type of scenario, you can go ahead and you can say, I want to make sure that's PIN protected, or I want to make sure these files are encrypted. And that policy will be pushed down as part of the enrollment. For work folders to be set up, there's a couple easy ways to set it up, too. So again, the user I mentioned can opt in. It's just through Control Panel. They can either provide their email address, just like they would do for Exchange. You can give them a server name if you just want to work that way. Or you can actually provision it for them. So you can use, you know, group policy, a script, or something like Configuration Manager or Windows Intune to go push the profile on behalf of the user. So if you're using a management product, you don't even need your users to opt in. You can say, hey, I know you guys are going to work offline. Here's your working directory now. Just kind of go work from here. So I just talked a little bit about mobile device management, and it's going to kind of build upon that. So with Windows 8, we introduced our first inbox agent for mobile device management. It's using the OPA Mobile Alliance device management protocols. It's an industry standard. In Windows 8, in Windows 8, it was exclusive to the Windows RT platform, so you'd only be able to take advantage of the inbox agent on Windows RT. The first change that we've done in Windows 8.1 is extended the platform support to all Windows SKUs. So on all Windows SKUs now, you can do basic management of settings, software distribution, inventory, like I said, device enrollment, and some level of wipe of the device. As part of Windows 8.1, we've also extended some of our setting profiles that we do. So the number of settings that you can do in Windows 8 have been extended in 8.1. We've also added support for provisioning VPN profiles, provisioning wireless networks, provisioning certificates, provisioning work folders. So a lot more is being offered with that inbox agent. It's a great alternative for not just BYOD, maybe just you want a lighter weight management tool as a whole, it's something else you can use there. Additionally, in Windows 8, the OMADM agent was exclusive to Windows Intune. Starting with Windows 8.1, it'll be an open agent that any third party can build on. So if you're using a different third party, they can go and tie into that OMADM agent, or you can just leverage Windows Intune and use that. So again, just expanding the overall device management story we have. All right, last topic I'm gonna kind of talk about here is security. So we talked a little bit about mobility as a whole. We talked about BYOD and productivity. We just wanna make sure as we're mobile, moving around, allowing more devices into our network, we wanna make sure our data is secure. The first feature I'm gonna kind of talk about here is selective light. This is a really cool feature because it allows us to go and wipe business data. So if I'm writing an app or I'm using work folders, the files will write with our encrypted file system, our EFS, one of our tested Windows technologies. And what this allows us to go do is, what it allows you to do is to make sure your data is secure. As the data is written, it's tied to your enterprise domain. So there's a couple of APIs available. And as you write the data, it'll tie it to your corporate network account and be unique to that app. What this means is if I lose my device, I can use something like Windows Intune and send a wipe command, and then I can go and revoke that EFS key. When that EFS key is revoked, that data is not accessible anymore. So in a lost device type scenario, I can easily just make the data invalid. What's really cool, though, is I said it was a per app option, and the key is written per app as well. What this means is if you're using, maybe you have an HR app, and you're writing data with the HR app, and I worked in HR, but I decided, hey, I'm just not liking dealing with people. I want to go be an engineer. I want to go build software, and I move over to the software team. You can send a wipe to the app, and now that I'm out of HR, it'll yank the EFS key relative to the data of the HR app, and I can't access that data, but you don't have to wipe my whole device. So it gives you a couple different levels of wipe, either the whole loss scenario or maybe the employee left the company, or a per app wipe that says, hey, this person no longer needs access to this data, but I don't want to ruin the entire data on that device. Also, if the device has been enrolled, so maybe you've enrolled via Intune or somebody else, when the user unenrolls, it'll revoke the key. So that way, if a user leaves company or unenrolls, that data won't be accessible anymore. So it gives you a few different options to kind of protect your business data. Make sure you don't have anything real catastrophic happen. Virtual smart cards, we introduced these in Windows 8. We've built upon them in Windows 8.1. If you're not familiar with the virtual smart card, it's just an accompaniment to our security suite. You might have devices where maybe you don't always want to have a smart card reader connected. This offers you an alternative to carrying around a physical smart card. What I can do is I can actually, as I go and provision a smart card, I can have a many-factor validate who I am. I kind of showed you when I did a workplace join, I needed a password plus a phone call. I can do things with a virtual smart card where when I go in and enroll create my virtual smart card, I actually for the first time need my physical smart card in combination with my password, really making sure that once we create that virtual smart card, it's unique and secure to the device. So like us at Microsoft, I have a virtual smart card on my device. The very first time I set it up, I had to take my real smart card and go and use that. But now moving forward, I don't have to have my smart card with me all the time. So as I take my notebook on vacation, I don't have to remember to take my badge. I can use my virtual smart card now to access company resources. So when I log in with my VPN and it prompts me for my smart card, it's actually using the virtual one on the device. Well played, well played. The next thing we did is we actually integrated fingerprints into the Windows experience. So fingerprints have been around a long time. Most of your devices probably have... Most of your devices probably have a fingerprint sensor on them. But it's always been a kind of an awkward third-party experience with a different cred vault, and it wasn't really easy to kind of tie into, and then apps writing into it. It just, I don't know, it wasn't this real cohesive experience. So in Windows 8.1, it's actually built into the Windows OS. So much like virtual smart cards or just your domain ID, you can have a built-in experience for your biometric experience. Both virtual smart cards and the biometrics, there's two sessions on them at build, one on smart cards, one on biometrics. And it actually talks a little bit more deep dive on all this and around the APIs that you can use. The biometric one itself is a pre-recorded session. So I actually want to kind of just show you those two live on a demo here. So first off, I can just go and lock my device with touch, so real easy. So if you go into your modern settings here, and you go into your accounts, you'll see sign-in options, and you'll just see like the fingerprint experience is just integrated there. If I want to, I can go and add a fingerprint, and I can say, oh, well, we need to make sure we know who you are, so I can use a password, or I can use the fingerprint I already have scanned. Let me try it one more time. Okay, well, I won't show that. But you can easily go in and just tap a couple times and, you know, add your fingerprint. And again, it's used as a sign-on, which you're kind of familiar today. Or we can go here, and I can show you how we can use it in an app. So what I have here is just this, you know, this stock app. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to log in with my password first. I'm not going to turn the fingerprint option on. Oops. Okay, and you know, with a stock app, you know, you're generally, before you perform any transaction, always going to make sure the person's identity is there, right? Because if somehow they get access in, or if I'm in here, I don't want to accidentally click and sell. So in this scenario, I might go and sell my shares, and I see a prompting, right? Well, maybe I'm doing a lot of transaction, maybe it's just my mobile banking and I'm setting up a lot of, you know, different online bill pay. Doing, you know, the password a lot can be kind of, you know, cumbersome and annoying. So what I'm going to do is sign out here. I'm going to sign in once so it knows that I really am who I am. Oops. And now when I go and sell shares, you'll see I have the option for my fingerprint. So I can hit OK or just tap my fingerprint. And just like that, it would sell. So instead of having to type my password in all the time, I can just leverage the built-in technology through my modern apps. Next thing I want to show you is around virtual smart cards. So I talked about in Windows 8.1, we continued to build upon our virtual smart cards. What we've done is we've made it very easy from the modern apps to invoke, manage, and create the virtual smart cards. So in this scenario here, what I'm going to show is how easy it really is to go and create a virtual smart card just from an application. So here I just type in my Contoso ID. And then I create a PIN for my virtual smart card. So every time that my virtual smart card gets invoked, this is the PIN I'm going to use. Unlike my actual physical smart card that requires a numeric PIN, you can do a complex alphanumeric PIN for this. Oops. And then in this scenario, like for a workplace join, where I want to make sure that someone doesn't steal my ID and just go and create smart cards, we can actually go and force a text message to a device. So in the background, this should be talking to a server and send a text message to my phone, and then we'll go and actually validate the security ID, and then go create the smart card. When the smart card is created, it's bound between not only your ID, but the TPM chip on the device. So that way, even if your drive is stolen or people try to compromise your drive, just like BitLocker, it's tied to the TPM and being part of that secure element. And it does say this may take a while, so we'll give it another second here. All right, I'll flip back to it if it finishes. I'll keep an eye on it here. So that was just a quick demo of how easy it is to set up a smart card. And hold on, it's up. See, all I had to do was make fun of myself and it would work. So I type in the code I get on my phone. Oops. Hit continue, and then based upon the code it sent to my phone, it actually goes and creates a smart card. If we go into devices here, you can see my MSIT VSC is an additional virtual smart card I just added. So I now have my virtual smart card on my device. So it's real easy to use, real simple to set up. It actually does take a little bit of time, mostly for two reasons. It does need to go out in this scenario and talk to the server to send the text message, but additionally, it is actually binding with the TPM chip, so all that registration is happening in the background. This device here is a TPM 1.2, maybe 1X, which is a little bit slower. Things like our Surface RT or some of the newer TPM 2.0s will work a lot faster for this type of scenario. So we spent a lot of time, you know, just kind of walking through a series of new features. Really, the overall message to kind of think about and take is we continued on our path of Windows 8, building and iterating on top of it. We really focused on ways to be more mobile, be more productive, extend the things you need for apps, not just for consumer but for business. Make sure as you're, you know, being more mobile, more productive, that you're allowing to do this in a secure way. And just trying to offer the best experience we can across the Windows platforms while protecting your business. I mentioned there was a few related sessions. There's a list here. The bottom one got cut off. Most of them haven't happened yet, with the exception of the biometric, which is a pre-recorded. So you'll still be able to catch a lot of these sessions. Session evaluations are always fun. And then at 6 o'clock, you guys all know, you guys get some really cool devices that I don't get. So have fun with those. And I'll be here after the session to answer any types of questions. So thank you guys for staying for this late session. And I hope you enjoy the rest of it.